We've only been here since July, but it feels like it's been a long year. Who's had a long year? Great, the rest of you are quite fresh and fine. But I won't call it silly season because I believe it's a curse. So, but many people say this is a silly season because some places here and there, the wheels just come off quite spectacularly in people's lives. And yet, I know that's not God's heart for us. So we just need to get back to the heart of what he's doing and who he is. And we need to trust to stay plugged in, especially in this time. Now, I don't know if you guys have my slides there? Great, you can my roll. Oh, thanks. Today's sermon title is, it's a follow-up on last week. Last week, for those who weren't here, we did Holiday by the Sea. Capital C, obviously Christ. You don't need to think too hard and too long about that. But today is just the second part, and we're going to move out of what we discussed last week into something new, and I believe it's something new, but it's also something old. And you'll understand, especially those of you that's been here for 5 years, you'll understand later why I say that. But today's sermon title is just Holiday by the Sea, Catching His Crest. Now, a crest, obviously, is because I'm Afrikaans alighty. I many a times need to Google stuff, and a crest is obviously the top of a hill or a mountain. Or in this case today, we're going to look at some analogies. Is the top, the crest of a wave is the top of the wave. I'm not much of a surfer. We're going to get into some details later. I'm not much of a surfer, but I have stood on my board, and I have surfed one or two small waves before, and it's really enjoyable. But we're going to chat about this analogy today, because I believe a lot of that is useful in the kingdom of God. It's useful if looking at the spirit realm and the things of God's Spirit and His Holy Spirit. But I'm not going to give too much away. Quickly, next slide, if you don't mind. Thank you. We've recently, the last couple of weeks, we had a look at the following: yoking with Christ. In other words, not trying to do stuff on our own, but to hook in and ask Jesus to come and help us do that. We looked at God of the unlikely. In other words, He uses the foolish things of this world. So as soon as you think, man, I've arrived, God is using me. Yes, hierdie goeders werk lekker, and God's anointing is pitching. Remind yourselves humbly that God uses the foolish things of this world to despise the wise. So God can use anything. He can use a stone, a donkey, and He can even use me. So that was what we discussed. Thereafter, Edna shared on true worship, the hour is coming and now is, about the heart's affection. That's where we kicked off last week as well, is that going into a Christmas season, going into this holiday season, where's our heart's affection? We said to one another 2 weeks ago that worship is not merely a song. It's not just to put your hands in the air and say, hey, I'm all charismatic. I can clap my hands and I can dance around, and now I look all full of the Lord. No, it's not merely that. It's worship, in my case, is also what happens behind closed doors in my home. That's worship to God. It's great to have a mic. It's great to have God's anointing on your life and have read a couple of verses in the Bible and giving that to people. And it's not frowned upon. I really enjoy this a lot. But the real challenge about true Christianity for me, true worship in living out my life, is behind closed doors. Wanneer hierdie tentjie leeg is, en wanneer Edna nie te maklik is nie, en die kinders is bedrywig en woelig en hulle kry ses tande, that's soos wat hulle in Afrikaans sê, waar die tekkie die teer slaan, where the tire hits the road, that's where Christianity and true worship, I guess, comes out. And ek kan maar net vir julle reël sê, I fail at that many a times, but praise God, I'm growing, and we all works of sanctification, processes, God is busy with us. But it's nice just to be real and say, hey guys, it's nice to be Christians at home, at church, but we need to do that on the road as well, a place where I get challenged now and again. Who gets challenged to be a real Christian on the road? Great stuff. Even more than what was tired earlier. Just thought of it in worship, and the mere fact that I've got a surfboard and that I can try to get this body of mine into a wetsuit, which is not that easy, by the way. Dis is sommer net vir inklim nie. Dis nog ons 'n storie. I need family help. I need my wife to zip the thing up. I think you can make a YouTube video and you can probably win something on 50-50. But the thing is, it's quite difficult to get in the wet. But the mere fact that I have a wetsuit and that I carry around a surfboard, does that make me a surfer? I was a lawyer. I told the story before. Likewise, I was wearing a suit. Was working in Malmesbury for my own account. Didn't have any clients whatsoever. Some months I would take home R1,000. But I'll walk in the suit and I'll walk into the spot and somebody will say, "Hey, man, what do you do?" I'll say, "I'm a lawyer." And they're like, "Wow, yeah." And they immediately have this idea, yet they have no idea what goes on my bank balance and how successful of a lawyer I am in this particular season. And likewise, we should be careful about being Christians. It doesn't help much if I carry this thing around in an ongemakkelijke wetsuit. It doesn't help much. It doesn't make me much of a surfer. And likewise, saying that I'm a Christian is something else about or than being a Christian and doing it with the Lord. Make a tick, make a knot in your tail. Remember that because we're going to tie it in a bit later. So Edna spoke about worship. We said, where's your heart's condition in this holiday season? Where's my heart's condition? We're privileged enough to go on holiday and spend some time with my parents-in-law. We'll be blessed in all various fleshly ways. But the bottom line is where's my affection going to be? I'm not saying be staunch religious and fast and pray all day unless God tells you to do that and read your Bible and freak people out on holiday. No, that's not the case. It's just making sure, checking my heart. Why do I want to do that? And why did we discuss that last week? It's just merely because we told each other many a times you'll go on a holiday, you get back and you say, man, I need a holiday. Why is that? I've just gone on a nice safari type holiday with the best eating, the best drinking, the best whatever you can get, but I come back tired, unfulfilled and uncontent. What is up with that? And I believe that was the main question we asked for each other last week. Hence the title, Holiday by the Sea. We said to each other, true holiday, true rest. As Christians, if you're a believer, true rest, true holiday we find in Jesus Christ Himself. We obviously looked at Scripture to back that up. And we quickly looked at four elements of holiday. Rest. Where do we find rest? No, not the Maldives. It can be blessed doing it with the Lord. But you can have a much better holiday in Kokonop of Brakpan of Brackenfell of Kraaifontein or Tableview with the Lord than you can as a Christian have it in the Maldives without Him. You might just come back with a credit card totally bent over, totally maxed out, and you're freaking out, not having had any rest, maybe a bit of a tan, but not true rest in your soul. You can get back and say, ek sien kans vir 2015. So, we're just dropping these things so that we can think and plan and come back refreshed. We looked at destination, we looked at provision, obviously a major thing in a holiday season. We laughed at the fact that in August, October, somewhere around, they start taking out the tinsels and stuff in the shops and you hear Merry, almost said Merry Poppins, hopefully not Merry Poppins, but Merry Christmas songs in Checkers, etc. So they start quite early and it's quite an expensive exercise. Yet I believe if you walk by the Spirit and if you ask God, what do I really need? What will really satisfy? Lord, what will really bless my mother, my father, my brother? What will really bless them? Then you might just come unscathed out on the other side. Lastly, we looked at eating and drinking. There's a lot of eating and drinking getting done over the December holidays. And I'm not against trifle. I'm not against boat. I'm not against hoenderpastei. Sorry, I'm just speaking out of my context. So please do fill in your Yorkshire puddings or whatever you do. I don't know. There's a lot of that and it's not all wrong. Please hear my heart. I said it last week. I'll repeat it again, a bit of a disclaimer. Don't believe God is against holiday. In fact, He gave us the Sabbath. He Himself, after 6 days, took a bit of a rest. But Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So yes, there's a place for rest, but it's just in doing it with God, doing it in the Spirit, we will get refreshed. Eating of what? Eating merely at the Christmas table or eating merely at friends and having a braai, enjoy that. But it's not merely that. It is also eating spiritually and drinking spiritually of Christ. So that's a long intro of what we've been doing this last couple of weeks. And today, coming from last week, I believe it's important to know, but Gareth, if I hear this, I'm actually, it's made me think this week that maybe, yes, I can have holiday, but I'd like to include the Lord in that. I'd like to get true moments of rest, either quiet times or work. But how do I do it? How can I get help in doing that effectively? Because what can happen, you can also get all religious and get tired because you spend 3 hours trying to make God happy. Well, He might just say, well, go to the beach. And you flip it over and you get all religious on yourself and you strive and you think you need to keep God happy, and that's also not the heart. But there's the trick is, I believe this, is that for us to have rest in Christ in the holiday season, every day, but we're speaking about this season, to get true rest is we can get help, and that help is by the Helper. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's by what we sang this morning. It's about being Spirit-led. Led by the Geest van die Here. To be led by the Spirit of the Lord. I think a battle that we face is that in this season or in this holiday time when we're gone, the temptation is there to be led around by your flesh. But we ask the Lord and we trust Him to be led by the Spirit. And that's just what we're looking at today. We'll look at it at two levels. Firstly, I believe for us individually, and then we'll move over to a second part for us as a congregation. It sounds long, it's not going to be long, don't worry. But we're going to look at it individually, and then also for us as a congregation, because I believe it's time to revisit some of the things that God has said in the past. Because if we forget that, the devil might just come and steal our expectation. And then we're not going anywhere. It's not up there, but I'm going to read John 14:23 to you. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me," this is Jesus talking, "he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." It's not rocket science. If you love me, you'll obey what I say. And even he says it, but much more diplomatically than I've just repeated it. "And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." In other words, I just do what my Father calls me to do. I only say the things that I hear my Father saying. I only do the things that I see my Father doing. Now, as Petri rightly said, if he's Lord in your life, if he's King over your life, can he have that in your holiday? Can I say, "Lord, but I've been working so hard. I've served in church. I've done this. I've done that. And I've done all these things. But this month, Lord, man, can I just have it for myself?" But I believe he wants to be Lord, and it's not to rule over you. It's not to tie you down. It's not to bog you down. It's not to be a killjoy. It is for your benefit. It's for you to survive. It's for you to grow. It's for you to be blessed. It's for you to be secure. It's for you to be loved. But he says, be careful. Let me, Lord, even over the season of your life. "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you." So he will send us the Helper. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." In other words, I could give you peace. Who of you really yearns for peace? Three. 30. Great. One of the biggest reasons why I got to a place of salvation is, well, firstly, God did it by His grace, but I had absolutely no peace. I had all the friends I wanted. Just thinking materially now, I had the friends. I was a student, second-year law student, so I studied what I really wanted to study. I had the vehicle that I wanted. I had a girlfriend. I had mates. I had bikisak geld. really, life was grand, but I didn't have peace. I woke up every morning in my Corsair Kamer. You guys might say it's because I was an ice fisher, but that was not the reason. I was just very far from God. And I woke up with this anxious or anxiety every single day. So it was this constant longing for peace. And I'll get up and I'll fix it with whatever party there is, whatever fix I can get. I'll fix that, try to fix it, just to wake up tomorrow morning without any peace. Praise God for this. He brought me to a place of peace, and He gave it to me in situations where I would not, where my flesh would not have, well, where my flesh do not necessarily have peace, but through His Spirit He gave that to me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So the Holy Spirit is paramount. And you might ask me, but okay, great, Radif, we're wanting to be resting in the Lord. We want to be led by the Spirit. But culturally, I've been doing this for 30 or 40 years. How do I go about it? What do I do? And I believe there's a nice analogy, and I didn't bring this surfboard to show the dings that I've picked up before, or tell you interesting surf stories, because I don't have that many. I do have a few, but I don't have that many. But I brought this surfboard along because I believe there's a very nice analogy, there's a very nice parable-like picture in surfing for us with regards to God's Spirit and God's lead and the authenticity of our Christianity. Now, why do I say all this thing? Just, again, a little side note. This is not the only picture. It is just my interpretation. So please go and test it. What is absolutely true is the Word of God. I'm just saying, hey guys, here's a nice picture to remember what I believe God wants us to do so that we can move with Him. Everybody understand that? Guys, how did we get there? Oh, you... This was... Yes, you want to ask him a God. Thank you. It looks like a scarf. Let's look at Scripture before we look at the surfboard even more. In the New Testament, God said to us, Christ said to his own disciples in Luke 24:49, "And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father, that's the Holy Spirit, upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." We've had a long year. They had a rough season with the Lord, and He said, "Well, look here, I'm sending you out. Go out into the nations, go make disciples, etc. But before you go, go and wait." What a strange thing. So He gives them a job, but He says, don't go now. Go and wait first until you receive power from on high. You've had a tough year. Some of you say, "Man, I'm really tired." Now, what are we saying? We're saying there's holiday to be have. There's holiday that you can have. There's rest to be had, and there's a year that lies ahead. But here's a trick, and we're going to look at Scripture in the Old Testament that will just establish that. Here's a trick, is that before you run around, go and wait. Go and quiet yourself down, go and wait. "And behold, I'm sending a promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high, until my Spirit empowers you." Let's look at the Old Testament, and here's, I believe, the crux of the first leg that we... That's really important for us today. Isaiah 40, verse 29. It's a bit of a King James version, so don't mind my tongue. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Now, this is something that I long for. This is something that I thirst for. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And I believe To have a holiday by the sea, to have a holiday in Christ, is not to do nothing, not to say, well, I'm not going to eat and drink, I'm going to fast, I'm going to be all weird with my family, I'm going to freak everybody out. No, that's not what we're saying. What we are saying, and what I believe Scripture is laying on our hearts, is if you're tired and if you had a long year, take out time to wait on the Lord. To wait upon the Lord. For some people, in obedience, it might be 10 minutes daily. For some person, it might be saying no thank you to Christmas dinner and saying, I believe God's saying, just hike up the mountain and just spend some time with me, or get on your bike and go do something else with the Lord. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you, do that, because I believe in that we will be strengthened. It's not going to be the same for me as it is for you, because I believe in the new covenant, not I believe, I know. With the new covenant, God writes His law in our hearts. So I can't come and say, Philip, weet jy wat die Here het vir my gesê, ek moet elke dag 'n uur lank in tale bid en ek moet 'n bietjie in die woord spandeer, en ek moenie alkohol gebruik nie. I can't just pass that on to him and say this is what he needs to do, because we're relational, and I believe God wants to call us each one individually to that place. And I might say, hey Philip, what do you believe is God saying to you? How are you going to find true rest this holiday? Where are you going to find true rest with the Lord? You guys should go back, you're giving away my sermon. It's not so erg, regtig, it's not so deep. But thank you. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. What does that mean? It means He's Lord over your life. It means that you are available. We can be so busy in life that we're really not available at all. It means that you've surrendered. It means that you're humble. It means that you don't necessarily do only as you please, and that you're not your own Lord. Now that might sound a bit harsh and it might stir a few boxes, and I do apologize, but I believe that that's what the Word of God is calling us to do. Wait upon the Lord. I like the word there. Let me just first read the scripture again. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. The King James said, they shall. In other words, not those that wait upon the Lord might just be picked up, might be just refreshed, might be strengthened. But it says, those who wait upon the Lord shall. I've not had a case where I've not said no to whatever my flesh wanted to do, went to God's presence, sat there, waited upon Him, and not come out there truly content and satisfied. Shall renew their strength. Another word, just quickly, that we see there is, we'll be mounted up, or mount up, lifted up, and refreshed. Read it one last time. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Those who wait upon the Lord. Now you can go to the next slide. Thank you, man. I've said this before. I don't easily fit into a wetsuit. I usually wash out there between the children building sandcastles. So surfing is for me being a real humbling exercise. I don't have the natural abilities for surfing, but I do enjoy going out. The analogy that I refer to is, and what I believe is really important this time of the year, but also in everyday life for a Christian, is this: are you willing to wait upon the Lord? Now, if you get into the water, I know, Wimpy, jylle het al probeer, but you need some waves. You need some action in the water. So you need to get in your car, drive to the closest beach, get into your wetsuit, wax up your board, get it all out, get your car keys hidden somewhere, and then you need to get into the water. And on the West Coast, it's quite cold. So there's a bit from your side that you can do to get to that place. But these two guys are not going anywhere without a wave. nothing's going to happen without a wave there. I can carry around my board, I can stand on it on the beach, but I'm not surfing if there's no wave. And likewise, as a Christian, I believe there's a place that we can get to where I can say, hey guys, I'm not moving unless there's a wave. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. He said, I'm a surfer of God. I'm not moving if there ain't a wave. I'm not moving if there's not a word. I'm not moving if there's not an action from my Father. His lordship is so true in my life that in fact I cannot be who I'm called to be if there's no wave. So even Jesus went up, even Jesus daily waited upon God. And I believe that if in faith we do that, we wait upon God, God will send the wave. I can go to that beach and if it's flat, I can try to stand on my board. As I said, I can carry it around up and down the beach. I can try to look cool. I can use the slang. I can get a flat cap. I can get a nice Jeep. I can get a zigzag mag. I can do whatever I possibly can do humanly. But I will not be surfing if there is no wave. I can try to fake it until I make it, but if there's no wave, there's no wave. And I believe that's really for us. If we can get to that place of humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, here I am. I'm willing to try to get into a wetsuit. I'm willing to wachel down to the sea. I'm willing to wax up my board. I'm willing to brave the cold and get through the whitewash and go lay on my board. I'm willing to do the bit I can. For you, it might be coming to church. For you, it might be going to self. For you, it might be just merely sometimes not feeling like it, but picking up your Bible and saying, Lord, I really don't feel like it, but I'm going to read this thing. And I trust that a wave of the Spirit will come and bless this and make this alive. Make this relationship real. We can play church. We can have the church surfboard. We can have the church wetsuit. We can have the church everything. But if we don't have the supernatural hand of God, the Spirit of God, come and do it, we ain't surfing anywhere. I don't know where the ain't came from. Sorry. I'll try to work on that. So not me. But you hear the heart. If you want to find true rest, are you willing to look at the surf forecast or the surf report and if they say there's absolutely no swell, will you still get in your wetsuit, wax up your board, get into the water and wait? What is your expectation of this God you serve? Has he been the God of the no wave? For some of us, he's probably been the God of the sandbank. It's just your experience. It's not who he is. I'm not taking on the character of God. That's it. God's character is set yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It might be your experience. It's two different things. Is he the God of the way for you? And are you willing to wait upon him? These oaks, I don't know who they are. Thanks, credit goes to Google for the photo. But there might be streams and the hordes of people standing on the beach thinking, what are these oaks doing? They're wasting their time. You might be serving the Lord for 8 years and 10 years and you've seen fruit, but you've not seen the fruit that you've really expected. Us as a church, we might have been here, five, going on 6 years, and some of you think, well, Lord, where's the this or where's the that? There might be Christians pointing fingers. The enemy might be pointing fingers from the beach, saying, what are you doing in the water? You're wasting your time. But are you willing to stick it out and wait on your board? Are you willing to lay there? Even if you walked with God and he's made promises, he's given you a surf report way back of massive 6-foot swells, massive, I don't know all this lingo, Ali cool waves. He's given you prophetic prophetic pictures of this massive wave that's going to come and you're going to rip them apart with the Lord. But yet you're sitting in the water and nothing's happened in many a years. What is your expectation? And are you willing to wait? Are you willing to stick it out? Are you willing to stay in faith? Second point is not our abilities. And this scripture you'll remember. This is a scripture that, the Karen verse, the scripture that was used in our first service on the 17th of January 2010. Obviously, I wasn't here, but I got the notes. And I believe it's still true for us individually, but also for us as a church, and we're going to look at it now. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." That part, don't worry too much about it, we can discuss that now. The latter part is important. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Just to give a bit of little bit of context here, this word came to Israel as they came to the end part of exile in Babylon for 70 years. So they were quite tired. The Babylonians were quite mighty. They were then defeated by the Philistines, I think, if I remember correctly. So all of these other major nations were going at it and looking all good and strong and mighty. And they were in exile, and they moved back to Jerusalem, and they came there, and their city was in absolute ruins. The temple was destroyed, and they were practically with their backs against the wall. So they were cast down and out. Now, this might be a bit gloom, or more gloom than necessary, but some of us might feel, man, I've been through a tough season. This year has been hard. You might feel like the Israelites. And what is the word of the Lord to you? And I believe for some of us, this can be true. God came and he spoke to his people. He said to Israel that the temple will be rebuilt. The city will be rebuilt. Even though the other nations are quite strong and they're taking over and they look so massive and you've got absolute ruins, you've got your backs up against the wall, you serve a good God. But they needed his spirit. And they needed to know, as scripture says, not by might nor by power, but by the Lord's spirit. Just in ending, for you personally, are you willing in this busy season, December, January, to trust God and wait upon him? And then if there's something in your life that you truly need breakthrough for, or you just need to be strengthened again, how will that happen? Will that happen by your own plans? Will that happen by your own ability? Or will that happen by God's grace and his spirit in your life? Are you willing to take this truth of God saying, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, Lord, you will lift me up. You will give me true rest. I will find rest in Christ. And just for us, lastly, as a church, we get challenged of sometimes just saying, well, I've not hit the waves, or I've not seen the waves that I've been trusting for, I've been waiting for, so I'm just going to leave this and take my board and go on home. But I believe the picture that Pietri saw is something that's prophetically accurate for us at this stage. Chris, it's unfortunate he's not here. I've spoken. We had supper together in the week. And he just says he's got this excitement that something's brewing. He doesn't know what. But just something's, as if God wants to do something. And there's a couple of people that's been saying that. Can you go back to that picture? They've got a decision to make. They're going to trust that what they saw in the surf report is going to be true, or that this has been a flop of a day for them. But I like the fact just to hang on and see what God does through His Spirit. And I believe that's what Chris and what Petri also said, is that stick to your board and see what God does. I'm going to pray for us individually first, because I believe there's been places in your life that the enemy might have stolen that hope or that faith that God can come and do something. So if you don't mind standing with me, Petri sal jy vir my speel of nie vir my vir die Here net speel. And let's trust the Lord just to speak into our hearts now. You don't have to stand, obviously. You're more than welcome to sit down if you'd like. Lord, I just firstly want to come and just repent, Lord, where we might have tried to do Christianity without you, Lord. We try to sometimes do Christianity in all ways which is only humanly possible, Lord, and we neglect to trust Father God in your supernatural ability. Lord, just forgive us for that. We'd like to wait upon you, Lord. We'd like to move with what you want to do. If there's an area in your life that you feel like these two guys in the water, and you've not seen the supernatural hand of God come through, and you're really tired of waiting, or you've actually lost a bit of hope, you lost a fair bit of faith of the wave of God coming in your life and seeing that he's real, then you want to lift up your hand and we can pray for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for these hands. I'm going to ask that you, if you lifted up your hand, that you come forward and that we pray with you. Not to put anybody on the spot, it's just to say, Lord, we're expecting, Father God. The cell leaders and some of the senior people here can just start praying for them. You're more than welcome. I want to pray for the people that is hypothetically, Lord, decided to leave their boards, get out of their wetsuits, Lord, and go on with life because things didn't work out the way that they thought it should. I pray for those people whose hearts may be hardened, Lord, or took offense with you, Father God. That the wave didn't come in the way and on the time that they expected. And I pray for your grace, Father God, to come and stir faith and to call people back into the water. That's just to call people back into faith, Lord. Call people back into a position of expectation that the God of the Word of the God of the Bible, that that is the true God. I pray, Lord, that by your grace, that in our church and in this area, Lord, that you will call back that people, Lord, and stir up an expectation again, Lord, that you will come through, Father God. Lord, thank you that you spoke over this church way back, 4 years ago, Lord, more than 4 years ago, Lord, you spoke. I believe this word prophetically that it will not be by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And we just say, Lord, we're on our boards. Are we waiting for your wave, Lord? There's no wave that man can conjure up, Lord. But we as a church, Father God, come and we humbly wait, Lord. We go back to that prophetic surf report of way back that you said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And we say, Lord, we lay on our boards full of faith and we say, you are the God of that report. You are the God of that report. And we remind you of that, Lord. There's been a prophetic word likewise in your life that God said, I'm going to do something and it's not happened before. And you get challenged by this. You get challenged to get out of the water. And you want us just to pray in faith with you. Won't you just lift up, put up your hand that we can pray in faith with you. Thank you, Lord, that we remind you of your promises. We remind you of the report in our lives. And we say that you're a good God, Lord. And that you're not a man that you shall lie. We speak that over the people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Before we end off in prayer, Lord, I just want to pray these scriptures over our lives and over our church, Lord. And we thank you for them. May they be life to us, Lord. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Lord, we speak that over our congregation, Lord. Especially those people who cannot be here today. Those who trust in the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. And may we do. Will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk. Not faint. And likewise, Lord, we run with your promise in Zechariah, and we thank you for that, Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We pray for that freedom in 2015 over us as a church. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And we give ourselves to you, and we thank you, Father God. You're an awesome God, and we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I was speaking to a little group couple of weeks ago, and I felt it was the same message for you today, from Psalm 37 and verse 4. He will give you the desires of your heart as a fellowship, as individuals. And as I spoke to this group, it was such a clear word to the folk. And one person said, I thought it was in a different direction, but God opened something else that I was expecting. It was a little different, but it was a wow moment. And there was a guy who was a principal of a school in Krobo, and it's a small school, a lovely little school. But he's a big capacity guy, and he decided to apply for a position, one of the most prestigious schools, private schools in South Africa, a few weeks later, and he actually got the position, which he didn't expect to get. And it's a Christian school. He can minister every morning to these 640 kids, the Word of God. It's just a plum job for him. Financially, I mean, where he was, it was nothing compared to where he was. But it was such a clear word. And I was struggling with whether I should come and share this with you, because I just felt for individuals, this is the same word. Psalm 37, verse 4, he will give you the desires of your heart. And then coupled with that is Matthew 6:6, I think it is, which says that you seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. So it's coupled up with seeking the kingdom of God, seeking the glory of God, seeking God first, and then God will do the rest. Just feel very strongly to say this to you, that you need to be encouraged. I sense that there's discouragement in some here today. I just, as I came into the hall before you even started or people sat down, I felt there was an atmosphere of discouragement, and I didn't know why. But I don't believe that God wants us to live in a spirit of discouragement, but of encouragement every day, because He is the God of all encouragement. I'm beginning to preach now. I'm beginning to feel stirred for you, because some of you don't even believe the promises that God's had over you, because Satan has robbed you. Don't let Satan rob you of that. Those promises are true. Those promises are secure in God. They'll happen. If God has given you a rhema word, a sure word, it will happen. We went to Switzerland, and I was telling our fellowship that my wife's got a position. She's got a post over there, and they said, "How can you say that?" Because God gave me a rhema word. All the schools turned her down. But I said, she's got a word. She didn't even believe me. but I knew it was God. And she got a position. We were there for a month and a half. We were with family. We were staying with family in Switzerland. And we got this message: please come to this amazing school, private school, in just outside of Geneva. And I said, "You got the job." She said, "No, how can you say that? You know, I'm a little plasharpy." And I said, "You got the job. It's a rhema word. So if God's got a rhema word for you, don't cast it aside. You stand on that word, and He will give you the desires of your heart, because if God has put that in your heart, it's His desire after all. So be stirred. Be stirred up."
Amen. Thank you. Let's react to that in faith. That is you. And you say, "Lord, I trust that you will grant me the desires of my heart. That firstly you place them there, Lord. And that as I seek your kingdom, Father God, that these things will be added unto me." If that is your faith, if that is the way that you hold on to your surfboard and you wait, don't you want to put up your hand and let's pray in faith that God does that. Thank you, Lord, for the hands, Lord. Thank you, Father God, just for this testimony of the gentleman. And Lord, that root word in testimony means do again. And we just say, Father God, we serve the God of do again. We just ask, Lord, as these hands are raised, Lord, and especially for our brother and sisters here in front, Lord, we pray, Father God, come and do again, Lord. Come and do again, Lord. Come and do again, Lord. Spirit of God, come and do again. Come and do again. Come and do again. Come and do again. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, in each and every one of our lives, Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Amen. Guys, feel free, grab some coffee. Have an awesome week. If you feel led, come and pray with us. And let's pray through these things. Otherwise, have a bit of fellowship. Thank you.